Gamblers, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a new edition of Inside the Lines with your host Wesley Burris and my co-host Taylor Griggs. This is our gambling podcast. If you haven't been listening and you've stumbled upon it, here we go. We talk about betting on football. Last week, my picks didn't go too well. We're going to keep the format about the same. We're going to recap what we did last week, talk about my wagers and where we stand head-to-head, which has become very close now, where I had a nice little margin of a two-game lead on Taylor. He's narrowed the gap a little bit. But first things first, let's go into my bets from last week, which, boy, they weren't good at all. I was 0-3 on Wes's wagers. I told you to take the Houston Cougars -1 against Texas Tech. Pretty sure they lost that game by 21. It could have been 14. I quit watching. They got a 21-point lead. Houston was driving, but Texas Tech made it look really easy to score on them in the second half. Pretty much a tit-for-tat game early. I knew it would be. The game the year before was the same way. I just took Houston laying the point there. I felt like they'd win the ball game. I didn't think they were going to run away with it, but I thought they'd pull out the W, and they did not. They didn't show up to play, and Cliff Kingsbury had his team ready. They looked like they were firing on all cylinders on the offense all day. Took the Eagles against Tampa Bay, probably the upset of the week last week. Well, not really. I would say maybe the Chiefs weren't they? Yeah, because the Chiefs were dogs. But Philly, they were favored by 3 here against Tampa Bay. And if it weren't for the huge plays and just, boy, what's going on down there, bud? That Fitz magic is on fire. I went against it, and I was wrong. I said it
from the beginning.
Yeah, I went against it, and I was wrong. So I took the defenders last week -3, as I'm sure the bulk of the betting public did. People can tell you they went the other way. They're probably lying to you. So at least I'm owning up to my losses here. And I took the G-men versus the boys.
Ooh.
On Sunday Night Football +3.
Thrash.
This game's usually close. I figured it could be one of those close games, but I felt like the Giants could redeem themselves after a week 1 loss and come back and win, and they did not. They got beat up physically in this football game. I didn't watch much of it at all. I wasn't too interested, and it started off very, very poorly if you back the Giants. So kind of piggybacking off of that, I had a bad week, but we'll redeem ourselves. I always usually if I tend to start out slow, I end up getting hot. Hopefully that continues to be the case. It might not. I may just have jinxed myself and talked myself up into a bunch of nothingness. Last week, Taylor, your 5 picks, you were Vandy, took Vandy +13.5 against Notre Dame, a game they lost 22-17. They had every chance in the world to win it. They had 2 turnovers down in the red zone, 1 at the 1-yard line going in, a fumble. Should have beaten the Irish last week, but that was a good call, and I almost went along with you on that, but I didn't. I did take it on a little parlay card I had because I actually had the line at 17 on there, which was nice. But a good call there with Vanderbilt. Another game you took, LSU +10.5. I took that pick as well. We both talked about it on last week's episode. That was one of the games we went over, so we might as well kind of go over what happened there. LSU beats Auburn 22-21. I knew when they made it, it was 21-13. And I said, wasn't it 21-13? Yeah, and then they scored and they didn't get the 2. And then they ended up kicking the field goal at the end. It just – the way the game went, man, the second half, Auburn was up 21-10 at half. LSU had gotten a 10-point lead early in the game, 10-0. Very similar to last year. Auburn just collapsed down the stretch. We told you we didn't think Stidham would have a good game. He did not. And Joe Burrow had a pretty solid game. I think the guy might be a – he's not a bad quarterback. I think – LSU might have their best quarterbacks. What was the kid's name that played in the – what was the guy in the NFL? What's his name? Starts with an E. Ettenberger or something like that? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Your next pick was the L.A. Chargers -7, and that game got closer late, but it was a rout early, 28-3. I think it was 28-6 halftime. Don't remember what the final was. They covered easily there. Jets -2.5. You got a loss there. You took a L.
Yep. That was also my parlay card.
Yes. And you took the 49ers, I almost said something else there, -6, and that was a loser as well. They didn't cover again. They beat the Lions but did not cover, right? They won the game. Hell, I should have looked that up. Yeah, that was one of your losses because you won Vandy, LSU, and Chargers. So
well, what
to be
was
a
the line for that?
It was 6. They didn't cover. I think they won by 4.
They won by, yeah.
My picks, BYU plus 23 against.
It was a -3, -3.
On the Butters card. Yes, it was. On the these so that shitty parlay cards.
That would have been a win.
Yeah, on that.
Yeah.
I took BYU plus 23 at Wisconsin. They won the game outright.
Yes.
I mean, I talked myself out of straight betting it on Saturday. And this is what I've been doing so far this year, guys. My head is not really right. If you like what I pick, honestly, go with it because I do some research. But on this one, I talked myself – yeah, I talked myself out of this pick. I told a buddy of mine, we always talk before the games at noon, and I said, man, I like BYU plus the points. And I think it was down to like 22.5 or 22 even. I said, man, I like them. I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think they're going to lose by more than a couple scores. And they won the game outright. So my next pick was LSU plus 10.5, like you. I just thought that was the right number to bet it at. And you know, it actually went to 11 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the public was wrong on that one. Houston minus 1, Philly minus 3, Giants plus 3, my wagers. The three that I chose to lock in for you guys were the three that I lost this week on my five picks against Taylor. So that brings me now well, my God, just tear it up. Hang on one second. I got to find a page here. That brings me to 8-6-1 on the year. Taylor, you're 8-7. So going into last week, I was 6-3-1. You were 5-5. So you were kind of – you were two and a half games behind me there. Well, no, I think it would still be two. I don't really know how to do the math on those halves and all that stuff. Ties, that gets a little confusing, but – I've got a one-game lead on you right now, even though I don't have more a win more than you do. I have one less loss. You did pretty good. You did pretty good. And I'll tell you what, you want to do those now and talk about the games or do it the same way we've been doing it? We'll wait for our picks to the end of the show.
Yeah.
I think that makes more sense. So the stuff we've chosen to bring you today, there's only a few games we're going to talk about. Want to keep this brief. I'm a little under the weather. If I sound like shit, I apologize. Started a new job this week. I'm getting up a lot earlier than I'm used to doing, 5:30 in the morning, and have to drive. Good little commute to go to work, but it seems like a good job. I'm happy with it so far. You know, we're bringing putting a lot of content out there, and it gets nerve-wracking sometimes, but we enjoy it. First game this week, number 7 Stanford at number 20 Oregon. This is a big matchup. This is a game that I haven't really looked back at what the scores are, and I can't really remember, but there's been years where Stanford's running game has really tamed Oregon. You know what I mean? Like, Oregon has kind of they've lost their way in the North, and they aren't the power that they were a few years ago. And Stanford and Washington have taken that division over. I like Pac-12 football. I really do. It's on late at night. It's very, very comparable to me to the SEC. Some people will shit on that because they're not Southern, but the offensive and defensive lines in the Pac-12 are very, very solid. They play athletic football. It's a step ahead a little bit of what you see out of some other conferences. The SEC probably has the best defensive linemen top to bottom of any league, and then the ACC probably right behind them, or maybe the Big 12 in most people's minds. But there's people out on the West Coast that see a lot of good football, and California is loaded with talent. That state is talent rich. Everybody in the country tries to go out there and get a player or two every year, it seems like. And these teams recruit heavily there. Oregon has kind of fallen off. They aren't the perennial top 5, top 10 team they were, you know, for about a decade. And I know that Stanford is. Stanford is tough. So far this season, Stanford has, in my opinion, better wins than Oregon. And so far, Stanford has beaten San Diego State 31-10. San Diego State's a tough football team. They're good. They're talented. They beat Southern Cal 17-3. And Southern Cal is really beat up right now, and a lot of it a result of the Stanford game. Honestly, they turned the ball over a lot in that game. They played UC Davis and beat them 30-10. I'm sure they were, you know, messing around. I don't think Love played in that game. Oregon has beaten Bowling Green 58-24. They beat Portland State 62-14.
Oh.
And they beat San Jose State, or as my buddy says, San Jose.
San Jose.
35-22. And we're 38-point favorites in that game. So, kind of crazy, don't you think? that they were that big a favorite. They didn't cover. So far, I would say I would give the nod there to Stanford in terms of quality talent that they've played against. They're laying 2 points on the road at Oregon. What are your thoughts on that line just initially? Where does that jump out at you?
I thought it would – it surprised me it was so low.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows
– a lot.
I don't think it's very hard for me right now, and the reason that I'm losing these bets, I found it harder this year than in several years past to get a grasp on college football yes. so far. I had a bad week in the NFL last week, but I also – what did I talk about? We went to Wild Wings and watched games in a damn storm. I talked about games I wanted to take that were winners.
Yes.
But I didn't take them because I was locked in on my mind on taking the Eagles. So sometimes I do that to myself. And really when I could just spread the wealth around and bet more games and end up a winner, and I'm not trying to, you know, skirt the issue or whatever, but I do that all the time. And this is a game to me I would probably never bet this game. And the reason why is because I don't like to bet the big matchup of the week, especially in college football, because I don't really – look, I don't really know what's going on in college football right now. I know certain teams, what they're playing, and things I've paid attention to. I think Stanford's win against Southern Cal is about the same as all their games against Southern Cal. A lot of defense, sloppy, turnovers, pro-style offenses against one another. Sort of the same thing in San Diego State game. Both are pro-style offensive run-first teams, and at one point in that game, you know, San Diego State was right there in the thick of it, and then Stanford pulled away late, forced some turnovers and pulled away late. Oregon, I don't know a damn thing about. I haven't watched anything that they've done. I've watched Stanford play some of both of those their first two games, none last week. Haven't seen a damn thing Oregon's done. But I can say this. We'll throw some stats out there. Against San Diego State, Stanford only allowed 263 yards of offense to a pretty good football team. One thing San Diego State did in that game to lose, 11 penalties for 125 yards. Can't do that. Bryce Love only had 29 yards on 18 carries against San Diego State, if that tells you anything. Probably the best running back in college football, or what people think is the best running back in college football, held to nothing against them. Absolutely nothing. KJ Costello was 21 of 31 against San Diego State for 332 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. And who did I mention earlier? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, 6 catches, 226 yards, and 3 touchdowns. 37.7 a catch. That is outstanding. Against Southern Cal, they forced 3 turnovers, did Stanford. Both teams had right over 300 yards of offense, so nothing spectacular, but both teams were moving the ball and getting stalled on the other, you know, the other side of the field. So probably a very NFL-style game here. I didn't watch most of it. I watched some plays here and there. I was flipping back. Love had 22 carries for 136 and 1 touchdown in this game. Costello, a modest game, 16 of 27, 183 and 1 touchdown. So there's the stats on them. To run Oregon down real quick, and then we'll make a little prediction, I guess. Against Bowling Green, Justin Herbert, and he's an iffy quarterback, man. If you've watched him the past few years, he's been injured sometimes. He's been replaced. He's mostly a passer. He can run, though, a little bit, but it doesn't seem that he runs as much as Oregon quarterbacks in the past. I really don't know what their identity is anymore. He was 10 of 21 passing against Bowling Green for 281. He also had a rushing touchdown. 5 touchdowns passing, but he had 2 picks. As a team, Oregon rushed for 212 against Bowling Green. I wasn't going to go into individual stats because they didn't have anybody that really stood out. And against San Jose State, he went 16 of 24 for 309, 3 touchdowns, had 2 picks again. They rushed for 134 yards a game. So this tells me what I think I need to know. It's a big game. It's at Oregon. Place is going to be rocking, no doubt about it. What sticks out to me, Oregon turns the football over, Stanford does not. I'm calling Stanford with the win on the road. I think they get it done.
Nope.
You don't.
Nope.
You'll take the home team.
Absolutely.
Never dumb the team. Take the points at home. It's not. And Oregon has a lot of talent. There's no doubt about that. Well, that's going to move into the next game this week, what we consider a big matchup. The Texas A&M Aggies at the Crimson Tide of Alabama. This is an unranked team versus the number one team in the land. Bama's favored by 26. Taylor, I know your initial thought on that line, but tell the people.
I think it's a lot of points.
Well, no shit.
I mean, I good just insight. Feel like, yes, that's what I'm here for.
I mean, what are your thoughts is what I'm saying. Like, what, I mean.
I was kind of surprised, really.
Well.
Because like you said,
they've been smoking everybody. We'll get into that in a second. But
yeah, but they come within 2 points of beating. Or three, what was the
final? It was two. They lost Clemson by two.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, it just.
Oh, man. It
bottles the mind.
Bottles it. You know, when your mind gets bottled. Yeah, it's high to me. It's over 24. I think that's a ton. Butter's got it on the card at 28. 20. Which, I mean, he does that. If he sees it at 20, he does it.
I'm taking it.
I probably will, too. I think. Here's my thing. I've explained this on every episode of this thus far. I don't take dogs typically unless they can win. If it's over three touchdowns, though, sometimes the points are enough insurance to where I'm like, hey.
Hopefully.
Because all it takes, if you're think about it like this. If Bama's up 41-10, if they're up 41-10 and you score a touchdown, A&M scores a touchdown, late against the backup Tide players, you cover.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to think about lines like this. So, I understand that. So far this year, we didn't do the stats with this game because we just wanted to talk about it because the line was so large and it is the number one team in the country. It's Jimbo getting another shot at Bama. You know, teacher versus student sort of deal. Saban and Jimbo. Jimbo coached with him at the Dolphins and LSU. And this is just a long history here. And the Saban coaching tree is very rich. And so far, pretty successful. I think the Pruitt guy at Tennessee's got a ways to go, as does our coach Boom. He's got a ways to go as well. But I think that, you know, they're all Kirby Smart's kicking ass. Things are happening. Anyway, A&M has beaten Northwestern State 59-7. That was their opening game. Lost to Clemson 28-26 in an awesome game, honestly, even though I hate the Tigers. That was a fun game to watch back and forth. It was exciting. I wasn't planning to watch it, and then I couldn't turn away because there was just glimmers of hope. And watching that quarterback, like I've mentioned before on other podcasts and this one, he just looked like he was in the Matrix. It was crazy to watch. They pounded Louisiana Monroe last week, 48-10, and Monroe decided to do their Tampa Bay Buccaneer impersonation and wear the creamsicle uniforms last week, which was a nice touch. Bama, so far this season, oh boy, they beat Louisville 51-14 in a game that Herb Street made up stories about being closer than whatever. He was making up talking points that made absolutely no sense in that ball game. It was a drubbing. Louisville scored a touchdown late and had another drive where I think they ended up turning over the ball. It was just a massacre. And then they beat Arkansas State, beat the Red Wolves 57-7. And then last week, go into Oxford, take on Ole Miss. Ole Miss scores on a 75-yard pass to Metcalf with like 12 seconds into the game. They score a huge touchdown. I mean, it had to be more than that for the play, I guess, in the kickoff. But it was very early in the game, went up 7-0. What's Bama do then, Tyler? The Tide rolled because they scored 62 unanswered points. It was –
it was a bludgeon. This is gonna be good.
And games like that last forever. They end up taking it off TV. Did you know that? And went to the next game with like 7 or 8 minutes left because games like this just take forever because the other team is throwing the ball. They're trying to get back in the game. They're not ever running it, so the clock doesn't run. Just a bludgeoning. So your thoughts here? You would take A&M all day.
Probably am. Yes.
At 26, if the line dips down under 24, you wouldn't take it.
Probably not.
So this is strictly because of the points here is why you would take it.
Absolutely.
You think they have no shot in hell of winning?
No.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with you.
But I don't think Alabama's going to keep them out of the end zone much. I mean, I think they will score a point.
Score prediction.
What did I say earlier?
I don't even
41-38.
Wow, you did say. Is that what you're calling? So you just said you wouldn't take it if it went under 24, but you think they're only going to lose by three? That's brilliant logic over there. I'm going to call this. Let's see. I'm going to say 37.
They released hypothetical title game lines for Alabama's games against potential playoff.
Let's finish this game and we'll do that.
Okay.
You gave your prediction. Let me give you mine. 37-14 tied. A&M covers. Barely closer than the experts think. Go ahead and say what you were going to say.
They're a 14.5 appear to be pissed. Oklahoma.
Against Oklahoma, they're 14. Who is coming up with this right now? Where can you bet this?
Golden Nugget.
You can bet this right now.
No, but
I'll call them.
Said college football.
Give them my credit card.
Game odds now.
Golden Nugget LV. 11.5 point favorites over Clemson. 10.5 over Georgia. And 9.5 over Ohio State.
Ain't that something?
It's ridiculous.
They must think this is the best college football team of all time.
They do.
Well, before we move to the NFL, we've got two games we're going to touch on there before we get into our picks. You were pretty mad. We were talking about earlier people saying Bama could beat the Bills. Just quickly, no.
This is something.
Every year. It's not every year. It's when a team is beating the hell out of people.
And
it
used to be the Browns.
It was.
But now the Browns aren't the Browns.
Well, before the Browns it was, God, who was it? Was it the damn Jets?
Probably, yeah.
Because they were the shits a few years ago.
So there is no way a college football team beats an NFL team.
I would set that line at the way the Bills are playing. I know they're bad and they look bad in the NFL. I would still set that line over 17 points, probably over 20 against the Tide, because I don't think Tua's not going to go out there and just spin around and throw off his back foot and have some guy running behind somebody against NFL corners. It's not going to happen. I could see the Bills playing like absolute crap and beating Alabama 28-7. So, yeah, let's just end that discussion.
I would like to see the odds for that.
They did mock odds a few years ago, and they said that whoever it was, and it could have been the Browns, but maybe it was when the – how long ago was it that the Lions were like 1-15? Was that when it
2008?
Was? Before they got Stafford?
0-16.
Yeah, okay, they were 0-16. All right, I think it was that team, and they were taking like the worst NFL team, and I can't remember who it was that year. And they said that the spread, Las Vegas handicappers were saying the spread would still be like 23 or 24 points. So if that gives you any perspective. So, you just said it, and I just said I didn't know who the NFL team was. What an idiot I am. The Lions still would have been favored over the best college team that year, which was Florida, by 24. That's insane, right?
Yes.
But they probably would have beat the Gators, because we saw what Tebow did in the pros. It wasn't that impressive. All right, moving to the NFL, big boy tackle football. Sundays, grown man, paid man. The guys, like I said last week, the guys get paid, not just get laid. Your first game, Taylor wanted to do this. Taylor is a Carolina Panthers fan, as am I somewhat. I mean, they don't make me as upset as they do Taylor. I think I've said that on a previous episode. I don't really have a big team in the pros that I pull for. I pull for my money. But New Orleans at Atlanta. Atlanta's laying 3 here in the Mercedes Dome East, however you want, whatever it is. So far this season, New Orleans, what's your thoughts on that line? Typical?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, let's go into what they did.
That's going to be every NFC South game.
3?
From here on out, I think.
You'll get some 4.5.
I mean, us until we start
six and
looking
a half,
better.
5.5. As I sit here and smoke while I'm sick. Tampa Bay beat New Orleans 48-40. What a game that was. And last week, New Orleans survived a squeaker against Cleveland. Cleveland should have beat.
Yes.
They should have gotten their first win in 3 years.
Missed two field goals and
an extra point. So, should have won that ball game all day long. They didn't, so now the Saints are 1-1. The Falcons lost to Philly 18-12 up there in Philadelphia, week 1, Thursday night game. They beat Carolina, Taylor's boys, while we watched at Buffalo Wild Wings, 31-24 last week. Wild football game. A lot of big plays, a lot of excitement. Got crazy, thought there was going to be some fights. Had some ejections.
Yes.
Drew Brees versus Tampa Bay. Listen to these numbers. 37-45 for 439 yards and 3 touchdowns. against Cleveland, 28-35, 243 and two touchdowns. Gunslinger. Kamara only has two touchdowns on the year. It seems so far this season that people have really, really keyed on that. And I know Ingram – did Ingram miss last week or was it week one? Ingram didn't play. I think it was against the Bucks. Ingram didn't play.
Yeah.
And they kind of do need both of them out there. But, look, teams make adjustments, and Alvin Kamara is a terrific NFL player, no doubt. He'll put up some monster numbers. But so far, whoever owns him in fantasy, probably not as happy as I was last year when I owned him. So, Matt Ryan for the Falcons against the Eagles last week, or week one, 21-43, 251 and a pick, couldn't find the end zone. They kicked four field goals in that game and did not win. Versus the Panthers, he went 23-28, very efficient with the football, 272, two touchdowns. He did have a pick, but he made throws when it mattered. All right, your pick there, I know where you're kind of leaning.
I think New Orleans.
You're going with the Saints.
I'll tell you, because Atlanta has trouble scoring. They scored against us, but our secondary isn't good. Their secondary is a lot better than it used to be.
Are they really?
Yeah.
You gave up 700 and something passing yards to
That's an anomaly magic. For some reason. That's happening every week, though.
You're right. So maybe it's not an anomaly if it happens
every
week.
Yeah, well, you're right, but it's a season-long anomaly.
Oh, season-long. Oh, my God.
So
we've gone off the rails
I just
on this
think
one.
I think they'll find the end zone.
I thought I would be the doped up one on all this, on all these pills I'm taking.
I think they'll find the end zone more than – Then Atlanta will. Because Atlanta struggles scoring.
Final score prediction. I'm not going to give one.
24-17.
Okay. So, outright winner. Don't need the points. Now, we're going to move into our last game before we go into our picks. This one's interesting on many, many levels. A lot of storylines
here. We almost
here.
Missed it.
We did. We didn't even think about it. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that yours truly tries his damnedest not to wager on or against. Because either way, it seems like they find a way to screw me. When I take them laying some points and I feel like it's reasonable, oh, yeah, they'll beat this team by seven. They win by three, and I don't cover. But they still win. So I watch them win and be happy, but they make me lose money. And when I take them getting points, like, oh, okay, Pitt's getting two or three here. They should win this game by a field goal. I feel like they shouldn't be underdogs. They lose by 20. And they lose me money, and they're out there sad and moping. Well, this season so far, they haven't been good, and they've got the controversy with Le'Veon Bell. Who knows if he's going to play? Because James Conner has stepped up, and
now with Antonio
against the
Brown.
Chiefs last week, he didn't really do shit because he didn't. They had to throw; they were behind big time. And
how many times did he drop back in that game?
We'll get into that in a second. Amazing, 60. That's more than Flacco. Flacco throws it like 48, 50 times a damn week. Is that not stupid?
It's bad.
Jesus Christ. That's not the only game that's happened. And see, they're blaming that on Le'Veon Bell.
Big Ben has dropped back.
You think he's calling the plays? He's changing it.
Yeah.
He's just like, we're not running. I'm dropping back. Yeah. I don't like Big Ben. For years, he's had playmakers. He's a good quarterback. I'm taking nothing away from him. I don't think the guy
– He's had two of the best receivers in football.
But people talk about him being, like, so elite. He's good, and I would say he's elite. But he's not
– good deep ball.
He's not top three of his era.
No.
No, he's not. I mean, you got Rodgers. If you're going to talk Mount Rushmore of pro football, that era is Rodgers, Brady – Peyton and Drew Brees. And I wouldn't even put Ben fifth because I don't think Ben has done. To me, I would rather have – I don't know. That's hard to say. Maybe I'd rather have Ben than Eli, but
– No, Eli's got
– They've got the same amount of rings, I believe, but that's irrelevant to me because you can't tell me, look, Dan Marino is probably a better pure passer than anybody I just named, period. And he has no rings, but – And Peyton was probably a better pure passer than anybody else on the list, and he only has two. But the rings aren't the only thing that matters. The thing with Big Ben is he's always been surrounded by talent because they have brilliant owners. Their owners, the Rooneys, are smart, and they spend money well. And they're because I don't Tomlin strikes me as very odd. He's, and I don't mean this in any kind of racial way, but, you know, he kind of gets a little hood with the players, yeah, which it may be a good thing. He's a young guy, and he maybe that hypes him up, and then he's like all prim and proper with the media. To me, that's just odd. I don't.
I've never liked him.
I think he seems like a jackass, but whatever. I don't like the Steelers, and I try not to bet on them, like I said. So far this year, they tied Cleveland 21-21. And, that, you know, the Chiefs were waxing their ass early in this ball game. What did it get? Didn't it get 21-0, I think?
Something like that.
It was bad. Well, the final score ended up being 42-37, but it wasn't a ball game because the Steelers scored and they weren't going to get the ball back. Doesn't matter. Ben, the only notable player, because Antonio Brown is now apparently caused some controversy on Twitter.
On Monday.
Yeah, we got some weird stuff going on, man. Like he said, he was tweeting a fan, wasn't he? Responding to a fan, or who was that guy?
Somebody said that was a former Steelers employee.
Oh, okay.
Who tweeted that? Said he's lucky he was drafted somewhere where he got to play with a quarterback like Ben. And something, and Antonio Brown said, well, trade me and find out. Said he's not as good as he thinks he is. And Brown said, well, trade me and we'll find out.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think Brown can go play for the Browns and put up those type of numbers. But you put him with another solid quarterback. I tell you who'd really like to have Antonio Brown, and he would put up probably just as big. Go put him on Seattle. Give Russell Wilson Antonio Brown. Give Drew Brees Antonio Brown. No. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. You can't throw the ball better than Big Ben. Oh, you mean the Panthers. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Panthers. Yeah. There you go. Make that move. Just pay.
Just get rid
give them whatever.
Fire all the other wide receivers.
No. It would be probably still be an improvement. Ben against Cleveland, 23-41, 335, one touchdown. Three interceptions. What a game.
And a fumble or something.
Yeah, he was bad. And the Chiefs – and I think they had a pick called back. I might be wrong about that, but I believe when I was watching they had a pick called back. Against the Chiefs, 39 of 60, 452 for three touchdowns. Abandoned the run altogether.
If you drop back 60 times, you better throw three touchdowns.
James Conner had a big game against Cleveland. He ran for like a buck 38 and a touchdown. He had a nice game. For Tampa Bay, they beat up on New Orleans, just scored at will, 48-40. Last week beat Philly, 27-21 in a big upset. So far this year, Fitzmagic, 819 yards, 8 touchdowns, only 1 interception. You say it's a season-long anomaly, but
– He's done this before.
Okay. Well, DeSean Jackson, 9 catches, 275 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Just incredible. So, Pittsburgh minus 1 at Tampa Bay. Your call. I would not wager on this, but I will make a prediction here. I'll make a prediction.
Tampa Bay.
Okay. And they continue their winning ways.
I think so, and I don't know what the score will be.
There's turmoil in Pitt.
There is, and it's coming out slowly. I mean,
you've seen it back-to-back weeks. Yeah. Look, Cleveland always tends – well, I say always. Cleveland has played them close even when they've been bad.
Yes.
They have covered spreads against them. That's not – we talked about that on our first episode of this. Well, second episode, actually, because we did the first week of NFL. We both kind of like Cleveland. You made them one of your picks. I didn't make them one of mine, but I told you I liked it. I agreed with it that they could cover. Without Le'Veon Bell, are they that much worse? I don't know because I think Connor's pretty good. Is he the same guy? Again, I don't know. I guess we have to see this week. Bell's not going to play.
Well, he's already lost.
Is Brown.
He's already lost $1 million, over $1 million.
Keep losing it, bud, because I'm telling you what, I don't think they're going to sign him at this point.
I wouldn't.
I think they're done with him. So we don't know. There's question marks. Brown, turmoil in the locker room, all over the place, and you still have weapons. Jesse James was leading receiver this past week. He had like almost Smith. Like a buck 50. Smith's a good receiver. Do they still have what's the other guy? Excuse me. Was it not Coates?
Yeah. I think they got rid of him.
They got rid of him? Okay. Well, whatever. I wasn't paying that much attention. I don't like the Steelers.
No.
What's your prediction? What'd you?
I didn't come up with a score.
Well, come up with one real quick. Man. It doesn't really matter. These aren't our picks, so they don't matter. Just where your head's at.
31-28.
Tampa Bay wins by 3.
Yeah.
I think Tampa's defense needs some improvement, definitely. I think Big Ben could go out here and have a nice day against
them. Pittsburgh's defense is not that good either.
No. I think the Fitz magic continues. I think we have a sloppier game. 24-20 Tampa Bay. That's what I'm going with. So I think Tampa Bay covers, not Tampa Gay. I'm sorry. All right, we're going to move right back in our picks now. So as I said earlier, I'm 8-6-1. Taylor is 8-7. Let's get on into this. Taylor, you go ahead and run your picks down first.
Excuse me
for the sniffling and
my college
coughing.
I'm going with Texas A&M. I like the points.
A&M plus the 26. Makes sense to me. I mean, I could see where people would argue because Bama has pounded everybody, but I don't think Ole Miss or Louisville are as complete a team as A&M. Maybe it was, and I'll use the term correctly now, an anomaly the way that A&M played against Clemson. I don't believe so. I think they're solid. They've got a good coach now. I can get behind your pick there.
Texas. Longhorns.
Against the Horny Frogs.
Yes.
All right. They're plus three?
Yes.
Okay. You're taking the Longhorns because why?
I don't think TCU's that good.
Okay. They lost last – oh, we didn't even go over that game that we talked about last week. Ohio State beat TCU 40-28. That's all that needs to be said about that. Did not cover the spread because I think the line ended up being 13.
Yes.
So, whatever. But you don't think the Horned Frogs are that good. They didn't look good defensively against Ohio State early in the game. Very impressive. And then after the half, Ohio State just like a blitzkrieg. It was crazy. Move on to your NFL picks.
New Orleans over Atlanta.
Saints plus three, huh?
Yep.
All right.
New England.
New England minus 6.5, and they are playing who?
Detroit.
Oh, yeah, the Lions. Is that – that's Sunday night football. Oh, man.
Somehow. Yes, it is.
They decided – well, they make these schedules before the season. They didn't know that Detroit was going to start out 0-2
and they don't
lose and lose two bad games, really. Their defense looks awful. But then Stafford threw – how many picks did he throw the other night against the Jets?
Four.
Jesus Christ. And that was a short week against San Francisco last week, who has a really good offense. But whatever. That's just – yeah, I can't say that you're wrong on that pick because anytime you're getting the Pats under a touchdown, it is on the road, but under a touchdown, they can win that game by 7, I would think.
And the Chicago Bears, the Khalil Mack Bears.
It's more than that. But they look pretty good so far. I think
him and Trevathan are just all over the field.
I think their defense has improved. It was pretty solid last year. So I think that they're going to be fine. Who are they playing, by the way?
Arizona.
That's right. I'm
the wonderful.
Telling you they're going to be covering and be fine, and I didn't even pay attention.
Wonderful Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals are looking bad. Now, they have played – well, the game against the Redskins I really don't understand because the Redskins didn't come out and play that well last week. That's just the NFL for you.
That was almost one of my picks. Who were the Redskins playing?
That was almost your pick, and you don't even know who they're playing. Because
I think Redskins are trash.
So you like Green Bay?
Yes, but I didn't pick.
I don't know what to think about the old Skins. I mean, you know, I was a fan of them as a kid. I've told you that before, and I've kind of moved away from them over the years. I love their uniforms. I think they have the best helmet in pro football. Their home uniforms are awesome, but – other than that, you know, it was my granddad's team, so that was just why I kind of latched onto them. And they were good when I was a kid. And, boy, they went to trash in the late 90s and early 2000s and haven't ever recovered from it. They really haven't. I mean, they're just they have had the worst ownership probably in the league outside of the Browns, I think, and just awful. So I can't really fault you for wanting to take Green Bay there, but you took Chicago. That's not a bad pick to me. I don't think. Are they traveling to Arizona for that game? Or is that in the Windy City? I don't see that here on my list. So you're gonna have to tell me. You didn't even look up, did you?
Nope, because I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters. I told you, home field matters a lot. We're sounding really professional.
In that particular game, I just don't feel like
together. It is what it is.
It's that important.
It's over with, and I got to hit the hay before long.
They are home, I believe.
Well, let me run down my picks real quick.
No, they're playing in Arizona.
Okay. Very interesting game I got for you here.
The Reds.
Friday night special. Washington State Cougars plus 3.5 against Southern Cal, against the men of Troy. I got many reasons for this. Washington State, it's a different team, so this doesn't really matter, but they beat Southern Cal outright last season, 30-27. Actually, they were favored, I think, but I think it ended up being, that was probably a push. They beat them by 3 last season. Washington State really seems to be able to move the ball well against them the last few years. Getting 3.5, it's on the road. Southern Cal has like 15, 16 guys out with injury right now. I just think they're injury prone. I think Wazoo can sneak up on them and steal one. Wazoo. I think they can do it. So I'm taking them plus the 3.5. Clemson minus 16.5 at Georgia Tech. We do a Clemson podcast called Talking Tigers, and I think that Clemson is going to – they're going to win this game at least 27-10. So that's my rationale behind taking them at 16.5. I would take it at 17 as well. I think they win by more than 17. So that's why I'm saying – I think I could see a 27-10 final. Their defensive line is just too good. They've played two option-style teams earlier. I know that Georgia Tech has a lot more talent than Georgia Southern or Furman and runs the ball more efficiently. I just think they're going to make more mistakes. I think Kelly Bryant or Trevor Lawrence can make the throws against them. Their receivers are starting to emerge as big-time playmakers. They have ETN. They just have better talent. It's that simple. So I like them big. Notre Dame minus 7.5 against at Wake Forest. This is a game Notre Dame won by, I want to say it was like, was it 11 last year? 9, something like that. It was a weird score. Wake lost their quarterback from last year, Wolford. He was a very good quarterback. They had a weird game against Boston College the other day where Wake Forest scored because Boston College muffed a punt one time, had another turnover on their side of the field. So I don't think the Wake offense is near as potent as it was last year. And I was kind of high on them going into this season. I think Notre Dame, all their games have been under 6 points or 5 points this year, all their wins. Close games, I think this one could still be close. I think they beat Wake Forest by at least 10. That's why it's one of my picks here. Just too much talent. Wake has no real home field advantage there. Notre Dame does. Don't they play Stanford next week? Is that what we saw earlier? Now, maybe I'm wrong. Notre Dame's schedule is brutal. I mean, from this game on, I remember we reviewed them on our ACC preview show that we did. And I said that they could lose every game from Wake Forest on.
Stanford, Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Well, I think they take care of Wake here. You're not going to like my next one. Atlanta minus 3 against New Orleans. I just think in Atlanta, I'll lay the 3 and feel confident that they can beat the Saints. Right around where you said, I could see 20-13, 20-17. I could see 38-31. I think they win by a touchdown here. I think they win it by at least 6. So, worst case scenario, I'm laying to 3. Maybe it's a push, but I'm taking them as one of my picks.
Not happening.
Okay. I just wanted to go against you on one. We got to break this momentum, this little 1 week streak you're on here, one in a row, on me. You're really not going to like my last pick. Cincinnati plus 3 in Charlotte. And I didn't do that just to perturb you. I think the Bengals win this football game outright. So, what are your thoughts on that? Since I commented on your picks, you can comment on mine.
I don't like them.
Not a one of them?
Nope.
They're all losers?
Nope.
You better hope one of them is. I think you probably hope 3 of them are. The other 2 I don't think you really care about. But I know the ones you do care about. I just think Cincinnati, it remains to be seen what they really are. This is a test.
It don't take much for the Red Rocket to turn into the Red Rider.
Oh, okay. What's the Red Rider mean?
BB gun.
Oh, okay. It doesn't take much, does it?
No. See it every year.
Is Cam going to throw for more than 190 yards in this game?
Probably not.
But he's going to rush for 150?
He's probably going to rush for a lot.
He's going to get hit hard in this football game. This is going to be physical. Bengals don't mess around now.
No, they're dirty. Vontaze Perfect.
Oh, my God. Now they're dirty.
Plaxico Burress.
They're dirty.
Your kinfolk.
My kinfolk. Well, probably somehow.
Two of the dirtiest players in the NFL.
Oh, man. Now you just – oh, boy. I mean, look, I made it a pick on my pick against you, and I kind of did it to rile you up, but I did like it when I was running through the lines. I liked it. I like getting the points with the Bungles. I really do. I don't think they'll bungle on Sunday. Now, final part of the show. Wes's wagers.
Yeah, this is what you need to worry about.
Yeah, this is what I need to worry about. Wes's wagers are going to be, drum roll please, never mind.
Two wins.
Hopefully, we're going to have a winning week this week.
Lock.
So, I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. We're going to reverse it just to see what happens. And my picks are going to be Washington State plus the 3.5 against Southern Cal. I will be placing a bet on this football game. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm telling you guys, I like this game. Southern Cal is beat up. Texas is not a very good football team and absolutely throttled them the other night. I think Wazoo's aerial attack and the fact that they can run the football and play solid defense, I think they're going to be too much for Southern Cal. They're going to outscore them. They're getting points here. Even if they lose this game by a field goal, you're a winner. So I like Washington State to win outright, so I'm taking Washington State. My next pick, as much as I hate to do it, is going to be the Clemson Tigers minus 16.5. I do not believe this game is going to be close. Maybe they'll surprise me. And to be honest with you here, I think if you're listening to this show for gambling advice, maybe you don't like my advice so far this year, but you like the Clemson Tigers. Well, look, I hate the Clemson Tigers, and I'm taking this game. And the reason being is I want to make money. Clemson is 0-3 against the spread this year, but so is Georgia Tech. Something's got to give. One of them's got to cover the spread, and I'm going to go with the better team there. That's why Clemson's my pick this week. My other pick against the spread. What is it going to be, Taylor? It's what I've got to show some confidence in here. The Red Rider. Wow. Cincinnati plus 3 in Charlotte to get it done. They beat the Panthers in a close one. I'm going to say 24-17 Cincinnati. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Those are Wes's wagers this week. Washington State plus 3.5. Clemson minus 16.5. Cincinnati Bengals plus 3. That's going to do it for Inside the Lines. Taylor, you got anything to add?
Nope.
I should have asked before I said that. Pretty glad you guys are listening. It's been tough to get through this episode. I'm wheezing. I've got snot bubbling and all kinds of crazy mess. Got to go to work early in the morning. Check out our other podcasts if you are interested in Gamecock football or Tiger football. Got podcasts on both of those. So thanks for listening to Inside the Lines, our gambling podcast where we talk of the games, and we'll see you next week.